following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown!
Panther Talk.
This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
Football is a pretty simple game. You know, you have to prepare and play really hard, and then you also have to do your job and not beat yourself. And I have no issue with our effort at any point this year. We just haven't always, not beaten ourselves.
And now, along with Jim Zocchi and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
With the Panthers' struggles closing some games, it's easy to look at Teddy Bridgewater and point the finger there. While we wait for Coach Rhule to join us live like he does normally at the top of the show, let's go Eugene and the Zoke. Where do you fall on Teddy Bridgewater, bookmark, quarterback of the future? How much of the Panthers' struggles in some of these games have been the fault of the trigger man, Jeannie Rob?
You know, it's not his fault because this is a team game. There's no doubt about that. But everything, a lot of things are predicated upon your quarterback. I think this is a quarterback-driven league, and so he will get some of the blame of it. And what we do see is his accuracy. His accuracy, you can't complain about it. 70%, that's absolutely astounding. However, we don't see the numbers in TDs that you would expect. When I look at Aaron Rodgers, right at 70%, he got 39 touchdowns, and Teddy's like somewhere around 14. So what we talk about is the production based on what you get with that accuracy, and I would like to see that even more production. Because if you're going to be that quarterback of the future and the guys that they rely on, I think you have to have a little bit better numbers in the touchdown department that would have definitely some effects on some wins, and that your record would be a little bit different. And so, unfortunately, he's going to get some of the blame of that. And so that's just part of the deal.
Yeah, it comes with the job of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. And Mick and I were talking this morning on another radio program about, I made the analogy, Eugene, it's the difference between good and great. Like, the numbers you put out for Teddy are good, but what's great is when you have game-winning drives. I mean, that's the defining moment, right? That's what made Jake Delhomme special, guys that had that clutch where they could, pull out victories with a few seconds to go, do the improbable late in the game. And again, it's not all on the quarterback. The defense gave up four touchdown passes to Drew Lock, who had nine all year heading into the game yesterday. So special teams gave up a touchdown yesterday on his punt return. But as far as Mick's question about quarterback, don't you think that's the difference between, being good and having good numbers and being great?
Yeah, absolutely, because here is the narrative on the other side when teams face you.
Hey, guys, it's Matt.
We got Coach Rhule.
Sorry, Jeannie Rob. Bigger name on the other line.
We should let Matt Rhule on the show.
Hey, hey guys, Coach, how you doing?
There is no bigger name than Eugene Robinson.
No, Coach, it's not.
Don't start that with me.
No, not at all. Let me take the first question. I was thinking about this for a while. Coach Rhule, we welcome you to the show here, Coach Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And Coach, I was thinking about this. Chuck Knox used to always say, when you win, there's something there for everybody. When you lose, there's nothing there for anyone. And then I kind of revised that a little bit because I think it becomes winning and learning. So my question to you I want to put to you is this. What have you learned in the losses about yourself first and then about your team?
Well, I'll say this to you. That's a great question. And one thing I said to the team after the game, I said, hey, guys, let me tell you this. Bill Walsh, a long time ago, said that winners or champions act like champions before they're champions. Winning behavior precedes the event. And, I've been through this before, twice before, when you're kind of coming up close and you just can't get it done. And I learned a lot about myself and what to do in those times. And one thing I told the team yesterday was this. Hey, guys, I know I have not been perfect. But one thing I do know is this. I have exemplified what it means to be a Carolina Panther in that I have always stood up after every game and said, hey, guys, it's on me. It's my fault. And what great teams do is players, coaches, everyone says, hey, it's not you, it's me. I could have done this. I could have done that. And if you can ever build that type of culture, which is hard, if you can ever build that, then you have a chance to be a winner. And I see that in our team. I see a team that walked off the field and didn't point fingers, that was like, a play here on defense, a play here on offense, We could have won it. And one thing I've learned is, you know, I'm tough. Our team is tough. We're not happy with where we are, but we also know that we're not too far off from being a pretty good team. And I think we're going to continue to try to fight, scratch and claw till the end of the year to be a good team.
Yeah, but we see that, and you're right in saying that. And I don't want to go through a laundry list of this play, that play, third down, fourth down. But as you look back at the game yesterday as a whole, one of the things you preach, obviously, is let's not beat ourselves, self-inflicted wound kind of things, you know, penalties and those type of things going on. And you even made mention of like, some things that weren't even practice guys were doing in the game that weren't even things you did in practice. Is that kind of the thing that's maybe the head-scratcher about what may have happened yesterday?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is, and you said head scratcher. I mean, to me, like, that's the game. You know, every team, after every game, one team says, hey, we executed well. One team says, we didn't execute well enough, right? Like, you know, that's just kind of the way the game goes. And I think you come out of every game and you say to yourself, hey, you know, did we do everything we could have done? And I think coming out of this game, for the first time in a long time, we didn't just beat ourselves. We really beat ourselves. And so whether it was penalties, whether it was missed opportunities, you know, we did things that were uncharacteristic. We gave up big plays on defense. And so for me, I always look at it like everything's just preparing us for the future. Everything's helping us get ready for the next game. If we don't beat ourselves on one or two plays, we win that game. If we don't beat ourselves on two, three, four plays, then we win that game going away. And so I'm really appreciative of our guys' work and how far they've come. That being said, we have to learn as an organization that we cannot beat ourselves. We have to do our job and not play sloppy football.
Coach, you talk a lot about your process. Is getting good a little bit like puberty in that you kind of have to go through braces and Coke bottle glasses and a bad case of date night acne before you kind of blossom and figure some things out?
I'm not even sure how to respond to that question.
That happens often on this show.
You know, I think you never really realize how important the subtle little last 6 inches of improvement are until you come up 6 inches short. And when you time and time again, whatever it is this year, 4, 5, 6, 7 games that we've had a chance to win and we haven't won, when you consistently come up just, you know, half a foot short, you start to really appreciate how important that last half foot is. And so that's where I see it. Like I see it like, you know what, we talk about details, we talk about process, we talk about playing hard, we talk about doing our job, we talk about all these things. But until you've lost a game, you know, 33-31, you know, 26-25, you know, 32-27, until you've gone through that heartbreak, then you say to yourself, you know what, this really does matter. Like, how we do the smallest of things matter. And we're all going to talk about 3, 4, 5 plays at the end of the game. And I always go back to the beginning of the game. I talk about, you know, a kick return that this should be, you know, a touchback, and then we pull it out and we tackle at the 10. I talk about a punt return for a touchdown that should have never happened. All these little things. And you say to yourself, you know what, everything matters. Everything's important. And that is what changes a mindset.
And Coach, I want to talk about what has Mike Davis given you? I mean, to me, really incredible. In the absence of having a Christian McCaffrey, who's stellar, you got another running back and a bevy of running backs. But he seems to look like he wanted to run over everybody and then run through people and run around them. And then with talking about him, I want to also talk about what has not having DJ Moore in the game, did that affect you guys or what you did passing-wise at all?
Well, I mean, yeah, DJ's a fantastic player. We would have loved to have had him. And you think about a world in which you have DJ and Christian out there and you're excited about it, but that's not reality. And so DJ, we hope we have him back this week. We'll wait and see what happens. But he's a special player, and we missed him, on Sunday. Mike Davis has been fantastic. He's caught so many balls, run so many balls, big plays at crucial times. And, you know, one play that was not really thought about was he caught a ball at the end of the half, at the end of the first half, split a defender, spun, ran up the field, made a guy miss. He got the ball to the 45-yard line. Unfortunately, we took a sack right after that. But those points before the half would have been so critical. And that's who Mike Davis is to me. He's a guy that gets it done. He's very talented. He's very, very, very athletic. But he finds a way to make big plays in big moments. And as a team, we did not capitalize on them. But that does not mean he did not make them. And I think he's really been a tremendous player for us this year. I'm very grateful to what he's done.
There have been different moments in games throughout the year where at times a player will make a play and then the overexuberance leads to a penalty, and that happened to Jermaine Carter yesterday. It's happened to other players throughout the season earlier on too as well. As a coach, how do you balance that handling of you want that fire, you want that passion versus, let's keep it between the rails here and not get penalties as far as talking to young players and trying to contain all that?
It's bad football. It's everything that I don't believe in. Sometimes when players first start playing for me, they think I'm antiquated. And then as you go through these tough losses, they start saying what he says might make sense. I mean, you can do all the celebration you want, but how much better is it just to turn around and thank your teammates for their effort? How much better is it to say hey, that was you guys? I'm here in the state of North Carolina, and you talk about basketball, right? North Carolina basketball, pointing to the guy who made the pass to you and let you make a shot and thanking him for making that. I've talked to the guys about that, but it's not really cultural yet. It's not bought into yet. But, I walked out yesterday to the parking lot with Jermaine Carter, and there's not a player on our team who's come further than him. He has made the most growth and the most development this year. And he's playing really good football. And I walked out, and I'm not a guy. I'm like, hey, bro, I appreciate your effort. Hey, that can't happen. And no one knew it more than him. And so sometimes you have to get bitten to realize that you can't do those things. And I think Jermaine is just going to, from here on out, when he makes a great play, turn around and thank his teammates. And that's, when I say we want to be a serious football place, that's what I mean. Like, a lot of pro football teams, it's about me, 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 look what I just did. And we have a chance to say, wow, I just did this because of you. And what if as a linebacker, you made a great play and ran up and thanked your D-line? What if as a DB, after you picked a pass off, you went up and thanked the defensive end who pass rushed? What if as a defensive end, when you got a sack, you thanked the DBs for covering so you could get the sack? How different could we be? And so that's the revolution that we're under. It's not easy to get done, but I'll tell you this. There are seeds being planted, and I think we have a chance to make it happen at some point because the guys are buying into it, and they see just how close we are and what if one or two other decisions could be changed.
I'm so fired up right now. I swear I could run down the field and cover a kickoff.
He could.
Don't take him up on that, Coach.
Great words, Coach. You're a special guy, and we know what you're building here is special, and thank you for your time tonight on the show. And good luck in your preparations for the Packers.
And I'm sorry I was a few minutes late, guys. I apologize. I look forward to this. You guys, I'll say this. You guys ask real football questions, and I appreciate that. And because we love this game, and the game's an important game. And you know what? When you ask me about something, what we did right or did we did wrong, that might hurt my feelings every once in a while. It might make me happy every once in a while, but it's important because this is the greatest game that there is. And the Carolina Panthers are trying to play the game at the highest level. And so I just want you to know, I apologize. I'm too busy watching the Packers, and I'm trying to get a bunch of stuff done remote and all that. But I want to make sure you guys know how much I appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you.
No, we appreciate you, Coach. We got to turn and thank you.
You should really be doing the Packers stuff, not talking to us, so we'll let you go.
Oh, man. Thanks again, Coach.
And there's a whole crew behind us doing that, too. Putt and Hogue and DL and Black, they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes.
Love it. That's good stuff.
Indeed.
All right, that's Coach Matt Rhule on Panther Talk tonight, presented by Morris Jenkins. When we come back, broadcast roundtable. We got Marty Herney tonight, a special visit from a broadcaster in waiting and in training, Jordan Gross. That's all when we continue with Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers come up in the A gap. And they sack lock back at the 40. Ball's out. Ball is loose. Scooped up. Obata could score. Being chased. F.A. Obata to the 4-yard line. Brought down.
Davis up the middle. Banging, clanging. Yes, sir. Touchdown. Bridgewater has the snap. It's the quarterback draw. Bridgewater right up the chute. Touchdown. Carolina.
It's easy for coach to say it's his fault, you know, and things like that. But us as players, you know, starting with me, we have to take some ownership in this as well and be accountable and understand that the coach's job is just to get us to Sunday. It's our job to go out and execute on Sundays. And you watch us in the first half, we didn't do anything. We had our defense on the field too long. We were committing penalties, moving ourselves back, negative plays. And when you do those type of things, that's not coaching. That's on us as players.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
15 minutes, 15% car insurance, geico.com, or give them a call. This is our broadcast roundtable presented by Geico. I still... Not much. You know, you live a few years, your odometer flips over a couple of times, and you think you've heard it all and seen it all. But Coach Matt Rhule just thanked us. He apologized for being a whisker late for his show because he was studying the Packers, thanked us for what we do, and suggested that a culture is being created here where people deflect praise, accept criticism. I'm on board.
And more inclined to go ahead and praise someone else and share the love. I mean, what a refreshing concept. In a league at times, this NFL can be, and I know that too well. I get it. To have him set a culture like that, I think that's going to just reverberate throughout not only the team but the league. I mean, that's something that's really, really good. Kind of reminds me of Barry Sanders getting a touchdown. He just gives the ball back to the referee like it's no big deal. Wow.
It's refreshing. And it was interesting, too, Eugene, that he said it's not quite caught on yet. You know, did you catch that part about
yes.
it? I mean, it's like it's not culturally adapted yet. Like they're planting seeds, and that's going to take time. It's interesting that would seem, when we just say it in plain English, that makes sense. That's how you should be. But I'm not picking on any players in particular. You go around all 32 teams in college football the same way. It's a little counterculture to think that way, but it's the right way to think, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it is the right way to think.
This is what I think about Coach Rhule, and we got to go to break. But I'm thinking back on the social unrest of how difficult the summer was for the United States in a variety of ways. And Coach Rhule, I think, I mean, he took that a lot of that on. I mean, he was very humble. But he was honest. I mean, he didn't come before the media with a bunch of answers, but he talked about the need to support these players and allow, give them the platform to express themselves in whatever way they felt comfortable. I think we've got a head coach here who is at his best when it is needed the most. With Eugene, the Zoke, it's Mick. We're going to check in with Jordan Gross, Hall of Honor member. Jordan has just started his path on the way to the big time by broadcasting Fruitland Junior Varsity Basketball in Fruitland, Idaho. That story and more with Jordan Gross next. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Bridgewater with Davis to his right. Ian Thomas, a tight end, a wing on the left. And it is Davis. Davis, good yardage to the 5. 4-3-2-1 score, standing up and spikes the ball in the end zone.
We just got to figure it out. We got to stick together, I know, in this tough time right now, but we just got to block everything out and make sure we stick together and come together as a team and just figure it out. Watch film, don't spend too much time on it, and then just move on to the next game. We know how tough these games are coming down the stretch. It happens. Just make sure we just move on.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Zoki, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Long distance from the fruited plain, Fruitland, Idaho, our friend Jordan Gross, the famous number 69 Hall of Honor member. And Jordan, we didn't bring you on to talk about your broadcasting of high school basketball, but we kind of did. Before we talk Panther football, what were the circumstances under which you saw a need out there and moved to fill it?
Well, I tell you what, it's great to talk to you guys. It's been too long, and it's I look forward to doing it again in person sometime soon, hopefully. But, the basketball out here in Idaho, the high school leagues are still competing, but no fans are allowed, only essential staff and the players and the coaches themselves. So There's a service that will stream the games live, but there's no commentating. There's a scoreboard, but it's rarely correct. I volunteered with another guy who's actually the head coach's father to provide broadcasting for these games, freshman, sophomore, JV, and varsity, all the games, so that the parents and family at home would know who was in foul trouble, what the correct score was, how much time was left on the game, and have some fun doing it. Just try to make a tough situation better by bringing the quality up for all the families. So it was pretty fun. We had our first game last week, and I was out there. I was Harold, and I was DL, and I was everybody all along, man. I had to set it all up. When we broke it down, there wasn't much pomp and circumstance with it either. It's kind of like, oh, guys, we'll see you next time.
That is awesome. It's kind of like All I Want to Talk About Now, but I know we can't. I have one follow-up question. Do you wear the blue blazer while broadcasting the games?
I do not wear the blue blazer. I had a Fruitland hooded sweatshirt on, but I did, and I wore a mask because I didn't want to blow it. They let us come in now as essential workers, so I actually broadcast it through a mask. But Harold taught me everything I know, so I had my game dialed in just right. So
I got a follow-up question too here. I got to do. So did you like the pace of that or the pace of a football game that you've coached, that you broadcasted here, or the pace of the basketball game that you broadcasted?
Well, you guys know, I love that we're not talking about football right now. That's my goal with every broadcast, is to get off subject as much as possible, right? And in basketball, the continuation of play happens too much. There's no downtime for jokes and side comments, hardly. So I got to figure out how to get – I got to go more to the one-liners than the storytelling comedy.
I dialed into his first broadcast. Jordan was kind enough to send me a link, and it cost me $10.99 per month to get this kind of entertainment, but it's well worth it. And Jordan did a great job. He did a phenomenal job.
I think that was a complaint,
job.
But go ahead.
My wife says, what are you watching?
Yeah, a compliment wrapped in a complaint.
What do you mean, what am I watching? This is Fruitland versus Valleydale. You know, this is a big game here. Jordan, we can't not talk a little football with you. Your distance watching the Panthers, I know you pay close attention and talk to people. Are you seeing any parallels between Matt Rhule's efforts to get this club good with what you went through in a couple of remakes as a player here?
Yeah, 100%. Whenever you have a new coach, Mick, I only went through it with Ron Rivera. John Fox in his second year when I came in, so it was still a bit of a new staff, but I didn't know any different being a rookie. But I knew we had tools. You know, Ron's first year, we had Rod Chudzinski as our coordinator, who was a big hire in the offseason. We had Sean McDermott as the D coordinator, who was a big hire to get to come with Ron. We had Ron, first year head coach, was, you know, had great mission, and all the guys bought into what he was saying. We had Cam Newton as a rookie quarterback. So we had all these pieces that as a player told me we would be good, right? But that first year, you guys know, you guys were at all the games calling it. There were some tough losses. Our opener down in Arizona, Cam at the time set a rookie passing record with 400 and some yards. Lose that game close. And it takes a while for teams to figure out how to win together, to be concise. You know, when you listen to Coach Rhule after games or Teddy talk about, we got to figure this out, it's execution. It's kind of the same story over and over, but that's what's going to happen when you've got new systems offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. There's going to be errors, and I just think we're seeing that this year.
I want to get your opinion on, overall, what you're seeing out of the offensive line, how they've looked in general to you over 13 games, but also to follow up with that as well, Taylor Moten in particular. He's going to be paid by somebody, and hopefully it's the Panthers into this offseason in some way. And he seems to be grading out among the very best right tackles in all the NFL. Tell us what you see out of Taylor Moten in particular with that, too.
Yeah, well, speaking about the unit in general, parallels again to when Ron came in. That was a lockout season, so we had an extremely abbreviated offseason. Different circumstances than COVID this year, but similar in that we had no spring ball. We didn't have anything until we got together for training. I know as an O-line learning a new system, it's hard to be dialed in for those first games, and we even had preseason. So a new system's tough, and then you've got new coaches, and then also we had so many injuries across the O-line this year. It's been a bit of musical chairs except for Moten and Paradis. So I think they've done a nice job. Trent Scott really has been getting a lot of praise lately, and he's done, you know, a very good job and been what Coach Rule called a bright spot. But I think Taylor Moten is an outstanding player. I got to know him when he was first here with the Panthers, and Ryan Khalil sang his praises, and John Masco, and guys that I really have a lot of respect for their opinions. And the biggest thing that I love out of him, yeah, he's grading well and he's doing a nice job, but his durability is high, right? We don't see him off the field very much. And that's, if somebody's going to invest a lot of money in a player, they want to know they're going to get their money back out of that player. And you're going to get it with Taylor because he's on the field, he's durable, he's consistent. He might not be flashy, but he sure does get the job done in a big way each and every week.
That's Jordan Gross, the famous number 69. Former Panther great, current Hall of Honor member, but most notably, the voice of the Fruitland Grizzlies
yes.
on the Fruitland Grizzlies television network. Jordan, we appreciate your time. Thank you, brother. See you soon.
Anytime, guys. Good talking with you.
No Great doubt. Job. Best to the family and everybody. All right, Jordan Gross, so much fun to
talk
to.
Send us that link. He's going to make a lot of money off of the three of us.
I know. There you go.
I will. I'll fax it to you. I'll get that link to you very quickly. All right, when we come back, Marty Herney, it's next when Panther Talk continues from Bank of America Stadium.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
A lot of things went wrong. Penalties bothered me, but we gave up two deep balls in coverage, you know, one a post in cover three and a fade. We should be in off coverage, you know, things we haven't given up all year. One thing we haven't given up big plays. And so for us to give up two big plays today, for us to extend drives with defensive penalties, and then obviously the delay of game in the end zone, took a lot of sacks in the first half. I think we only had like 80 yards of offense. So a lot of beating ourselves. Thought we battled back and had a chance to win it, but you know, put ourselves in quite a hole.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Always look forward to being joined by Marty Herney, Carolina Panthers general manager, on Panther Talk, and he ducks into our studio now. Let's start, Marty, with your major takeaways from the game yesterday against the Denver Broncos here at the stadium.
Well, to start with, Mick, I think, you know, we have a list of things we have to do to win football games, to put ourselves in position to win football games. And for a large part of the game, say 2.5 quarters, we didn't do it. I mean, penalties really hurt us. And all the way down to the last one where we would have had the ball at midfield and the holding penalty on the return put us back. You know, I think it took us a while to get in rhythm offensively, but then when we did, I think we started, you know, moving the ball and put ourselves in position to win again. And, I mean, how many times have we said it, but we couldn't close it out. And I think that is the function of being a young team, not only age-wise, but just with a lot of new players. And, again, we keep going on, no OTAs, no mini camp, stuff like that, no preseason games. But I think that, you know, in a lot of areas, we feel like we've made a lot of improvement. And I think our young guys, you look at Jeremy Chinn, you look at Etor Gross-Meadows and Derek Brown and guys that made a lot of plays. I think our front seven is playing extremely well. I think Jermaine Carter has stepped in at middle linebacker and played extremely well. You know, offensively, we were out Christian, we were without DJ, but, you know, they can say they were without their top four corners, and it took us a while to get in a rhythm, I think, offensively, but once we did, we moved the ball and scored some touchdowns and made it a one-score game, and, you know, I think it's a growth process, it's a learning process, to do the things we have to do to win games. And a lot of the categories that we list as far as, you know, not beating yourself in the middle eight and all the things that Matt has gone through since the first virtual meeting, we didn't accomplish that as a team in the first 2.5 quarters, say. So we just have to keep going out every week and improving on those things. And we're eventually going to be a very good football team.
Behaviorists, teachers, coaches, parents have long harped that adversity can not only test your character but reveal it. Do you like the way this coaching staff and this football team has responded this year to some of the things that haven't gone their way?
I think the common word we've used after every game is resiliency, and I think we showed resiliency yesterday as far as fighting back. But that only gets you so far. You know, listen, everybody, the bottom line is you have to win football games. And I think that, you know, as far as Matt Rhule and the coaching staff and really just being on the same page personnel-wise and working together with Matt and Mr. Tepper. And I think we're all on the same page. We all have the same vision, and I believe we're making strides. It's just it's frustrating. I mean, nobody likes losing games. You're in that locker room after the game. I mean, everybody is it hurts. It hurts a lot, which it should. But, you know, we got to understand, and I think we do understand, that it's the entire team. Everybody's got to do their jobs, do their assignments. We can't beat ourselves. And eventually we're going to get there and win a lot of football games.
What is the process like, Marty, after a game, particularly a home game like yesterday, where you sit down with Coach Rule and kind of compare notes on what you both observed with your naked eye view of the game and also from your tape study?
Yeah, and I mean, I think normally we're on the same page, and we're on the same page on a lot of things. And sometimes it's not hard to see, you know, and we just have to do the little things to get us over the hump. And, you know, everybody kind of focuses on the last 5 minutes and what happens then, but it's the things that happen the entire game that put you in positions. And, you know, yesterday we gave up a punt return, which is never a good thing. And we hurt ourselves. I thought we did a lot of good things defensively, but penalties hurt us. And then offensively, again, I think it took us a little time to get in rhythm. But once we did, I think we showed we have, you know, the tools to be able to score points.
Just a couple of more topics for you, Marty. We generally like talking with you about more of the broader strokes of things, but some of the minutiae of the game from yesterday, Matt Rule said during his media availability, in response to a question actually about Greg Little, he said the Panthers may have really found something in Trent Scott. How do you see it?
Yeah, Trent Scott is a really good run blocker. He's got position flexibility as far as guard and tackle, and he's got very good feet, and he's been very impressive since he's come here. So, you know, those young guys, you can't have too many of those young linemen. And with Trenton Scott, with Greg Little, with Dennis Daly, guys like that, I mean, it's you know, those are the guys that you just want to keep improving. They help your depth. But Trenton has played extremely well since we got him here.
Panthers now go to Green Bay. Everybody describes, you know, the frozen tundra and all that, and there's no idea what kind of weather we'll encounter going up there. But When you're there, Marty, do you just allow yourself a beat or two to take in some of the rich history around the Green Bay Packer organization?
Well, I tell everybody, including my sons and everybody I see, that's the one place that you really need to get to. If you're an NFL fan, you want to go to Lambeau Field. Not only the history and tradition, the people are just, the fans are so great. I mean, I've known a lot of people that have gone and sat in the stands and been Panther fans, and they're treated so well. And it's just, it's one of those special places. I can kind of compare it, if you're a baseball fan going to Fenway Park, you know, it's just got so much history. And when you walk in there, you kind of do, you're in awe. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to go up there several times, and you still don't lose the luster of going there. It's just a really special place.
This last question, you're probably too young, but Vince Lombardi, the great Vince Lombardi, ended his career briefly in Washington, and I know you grew up in the Baltimore, Maryland era. Did your pass ever cross, or even as a kid, were you sort of a Vince Lombardi fan at all?
Yeah, it sure was. I remember standing in a line about two blocks long at his wake. I mean, it was amazing how many fans just stood in line to just pay their respects. And I was there as well, because he was a legendary coach, and he did, even though he was there a short time, he had an effect on Washington. But you just remember his Green Bay days, and he's somebody who made his mark on the game and will never be forgotten.
One of a kind, no doubt. Marty, thanks for your time. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
How about that? 8-year-old Marty Herney standing in line two blocks long for Vince Lombardi's wake. I didn't know. You guys might have known that. I did not know that about Marty. Okay. Tonight's visit with Marty Herney brought to you by FanDuel. And if you haven't heard, you need to get in the game. You play for free. You could win from the Panthers app up to $1,000. Visit the Panthers app now, register your free account, and get ready for the next game. FanDuel, official partner of the Carolina Panthers. We are on to Green Bay. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, what makes him so good, what the Panthers' plan will be going up there. That's next on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Orange. Boomer Von Cannon, WBT, Panther Talk Traffic.
This is Panther Talk. presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Aaron Rodgers did not get drafted as high as he thought, and some thought that he might. He really didn't get lathered up until a few years into his pro career. Eugene the Zoke, how much did some of that kind of help him experience success? He wasn't like so many high draft pick rookie QBs thrown in right away.
You know, and he was probably just mad and upset because he's an elite quarterback, and he's probably always thought of himself as an elite quarterback, and he is that quarterback. And so I bet that helped fuel his passion about playing and playing at such a high level. He is one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in a very, very long time. Here's the difference between he and that Teddy Bridgewater is that they got almost the same percentage throwing the rock. I mean, in accuracy. But the difference is the touchdowns, 39 to 14. It's like Aaron Rodgers, he's always making plays, and we've seen this, as you said, having like a long drive at the end and then capitalizing a long drive. Well, how many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers do that on a Hail Mary where Richard Rodgers' son, he pulls it down to win the game? We've seen that over and over again, and that's what we would like to see with our guy Teddy Bridgewater.
And not only the 39 touchdowns, which is the bigger number that you mentioned there, but only 4 interceptions.
Wow.
With that many throws. And even Teddy, as accurate as he is, has 8 interceptions this year and 14 touchdowns. And to me, should be in the MVP conversation for this year for sure for Aaron Rodgers. And has not slowed down at all. What is he, 36?
He is 37.
37 years old. Hasn't slowed down at all. They clinched the NFC North with their win against Detroit. Playing a little bit like Kansas City, Eugene, in that they're not really blowing a lot of teams out. You know, they're winning by a score or two. And that kind of brings you back into the Panther conversation a little bit, too, is, you know, teams like Kansas City, Green Bay, you know, they just kind of figure out they got a lot of one-possession wins. And these are teams that have won, you know, double figures this year as far as total wins.
Absolutely. And the Panthers could easily be on that side of the ledger. I mean, really, we're talking about a play here or there in a number of different games that would just change this entire narrative that we'll be talking about the Carolina Panthers as a playoff team. And we're not talking about that because of the missed opportunities, the beating yourselves at time and not capitalizing and seizing the moments as we saw even in the Minnesota Viking game. So there's this team is hitting their growing pains, and it's some growing pains indeed.
Rodgers has that situational awareness. He knows if you have 12 men on the field, he knows before you do. Situational football, down distance, and he's got this ability to roll out, prolong the play, fake, dodge, get way over to one sideline, and so now you think he's a half-field thrower, but then he'll sling it way back over on the other side of the field, and there's always somebody standing there by themselves. So how does he see that, and how does he have only 4 picks, to Jim's point, with all those touchdown passes? He is a savant in that way.
We're looking at one of the best quarterbacks of our time. I'm telling you, from a guy who studied quarterbacks all my life, from looking at a Joe Montana, looking at a John Elway, a Dan Marino, when we talk about some of the best quarterbacks ever, you got to put Aaron Rodgers in that conversation. Aaron Rodgers is that good. Drew Brees is that good. Peyton Manning is that good. He's in that conversation. There's no doubt about that. And he's only seemed like he's getting better and better. And so we got our hands full playing them on Saturday. There's no doubt about that, because you got to stop Aaron Rodgers because he makes things happen.
And if this defense, this Panther defense, made Drew Lock look like Aaron Rodgers, what will Aaron Rodgers look like? That could be problematic.
That's not a good conversation for us to have. Injury update is brought to you by Ortho Carolina. So we'll see on Christian McCaffrey's availability this week with a quad injury. They're hopeful that he will practice and play. Of course, DJ Moore and Zach Kerr on the COVID list, and they remain there today. We'll see as they get back on the practice field tomorrow with an update then. Your personalized orthopedic care begins with the click of a mouse. Schedule your next appointment online at orthocarolina.com. Ortho Carolina, your care, your way.
Best teams don't always win. I really do think, all kidding aside, this defense will get some things tightened up and play well. Anybody heard a forecast? Do we know yet the extended forecast?
It's going to be cold. I've not looked at all. I'm just anticipating. Remember, it snowed in our game last year.
You're on Panther Talk probation. Sit in the corner for 2 minutes.
I heard the tundra is frozen. The tundra is frozen.
We'll come back with more snarky comments from the Zoke right after these messages from Bank of America Stadium.
Time.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here in the prestigious Langtonian Institute of Broadcasting Studios, fourth floor, Bank of America Stadium, we got Byron.
Put.
We got Wendell.
Blood.
We got Podcast Matt.
Ho.
And David Langton, DL. David just said that the temperature right now is 18 degrees Fahrenheit in Green Bay, Wisconsin. High Saturday, one. No, I'm just kidding. The high is, what did you say, DL? 30, 33. Temperature supposed to be around 25 at game time. Eugene, a Southern team like the Panthers, well, is it just football for the guys once they get their blood flowing, or is there such a thing to being a good cold weather team?
Man, that's a different type of cold. I played 2 years in Green Bay. That's a different type of cold and something that you got to get used to because it's a biting cold. And if you come from the South, you recognize that very, very quickly. So make sure you're prepared. Make sure that you got enough clothing, that enough layer of socks. You want to make sure that you're warm so that the elements are not a problem because they can be a problem for you.
But every team is made up of guys from all over. Like, you're from Connecticut, and you think of, like, Jeremy Chinn playing at Southern Illinois and places like that. So everyone's got probably some experience.
They do, but here's the problem, Zook, is that you've been down here in the Carolinas, so you're acclimatized and acclimated to this weather. And so now it'll be a shock to your body. You'll remember it. You'll get used to it quickly, but it'll be a shock to your body, and that can be a distraction.
They could come do walkthrough in this studio. That would help get them ready.
Yeah, we've seen it where those old linemen come out, and they're from Texas, and they got no shirt, no sleeves,
it.
And then they go back in, and then they got three turtlenecks on when they come back out. I think the Panthers are going to play well. Should be great theater. Guys, thanks. Excellent show for all the guys here and for our support people at the stations all around the network. This is Mick Mixon. See you next time for another Panther Talk.
This has been Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins told me that he loves football, and he looks forward to this show all week. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.